Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we were introduced to the devil and his ways and his tricks and his temptations in our gospel lesson. That he tempted Jesus by trying to get him to eat after 40 days of fasting, then trying to misuse God's name and his word to get the Lord to believe that angels would protect him, even when he stepped outside of God's word through presumption. And then offering Jesus, of course, all glory and honor and rule amongst the earthly kingdoms through apostasy. So meet your deadly enemy, the devil. He tries to come off as your best friend, but he is not ever your friend. He gives earthly bread, but he takes away God's word. He gives rewards for rebellion against God in this life, but cannot sustain them in the life to come. He drags you down into the pit, but he smiles at you all along the way. This week, we are introduced to our dearest and closest friend, Jesus. He sometimes might come off as your enemy or opposing you, but he's not. He sometimes makes your life difficult, sometimes says things that you don't want to hear, sometimes will test and even try you. But all of this for your greatest benefit, that you would learn to live by faith in him and receive the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The devil will try to be your friend. Sometimes, if only you act by all of your fallen senses, that is, what you see, what you feel, what you hear, what you think, you'll find him to actually be friendly to you. But Christ is your friend. Every time you act by faith and by what God's word actually says, you will find that Jesus is your friend. It is absolutely true. Even if those fallen senses of yours cry out in disdain and suffering and pain for your experience. You see, the greatest gift you have is the gift that God has given you, that is faith in Christ. That by the power of God's word, you have that gift. By the power of God's word, you continue to have that gift. And that faith is precious in God's sight. It is so precious that God will not let your faith in Jesus to become lazy, to wither, or to die. Hence how sometimes Christ Jesus can come across as our enemy or opponent to our senses. Jacob wrestles against a man, but he is really wrestling against Christ. Why would Christ wrestle him all night? To strengthen his faith. That's why. Romans chapter 5 confesses this and teaches us that suffering produces endurance. Endurance then produces character. Character then produces hope. Hope that does not let us down. Jacob, having the terror of wrestling all night with God, has great things by the strengthening of his faith in Christ. His prevailing and his victory is one of faith. The Canaanite woman in our gospel lesson has great faith in Jesus. That's what Jesus says at the very end of the gospel lesson. He praises her great faith. He reserves this great praise for the end of the lesson, however, because her faith had been tested, it had been tried, purified as gold is purified. That God himself tests faith in order to strengthen faith. There are few ways that God may test faith in Christ, faith in the loving promises that God's Word gives us about Christ. First of all, God may test faith by sending external trials upon us, crosses. This Canaanite woman has this happen to her in the person of her daughter and the holy cross of having a demon terrorize her. This is a heavy cross, which many here today can understand. The cross of sickness, the cross of suffering, not only for your own self, but even sometimes worse upon those you love around you. That God would send or allow these tribulations upon believers to the point where they or their loved ones have to endure a severe cross or affliction. But that all of this happens so that their faith, their patience, their hope, their character would be tested and thereby strengthened by it. Now, how is faith in Christ sustained as you undergo these trials and crosses? The Canaanite woman shows us. She runs to Christ. She begs Jesus for help. The crosses are in our life, and they should move us to pray, to beg, to seek help from God. They should drive us to the words of Christ, which promise that He will listen to our prayers, He will hear our prayers, and in His good time and good grace and will answer our prayers. That we should ask, and if no response, then seek. And if still none, in great perseverance, knock. The woman prays with true trust in Christ to help her. She has heard the word and she believes it. Christ Jesus, the Lord, true God, is omnipotent, more powerful than any demon. And that as she calls Him, He is the Son of David, a true man who sympathizes with humanity and will have mercy or will take pity on her. So she seeks out Christ, the Messiah, with trust, but also with a humble trust. For prayer is not founded upon our worthiness to pray, but upon God's mercy and promise to hear our prayers. As she prayed and remembered the word of God in her tribulation, so should you. A second trial for faith in Christ in this lesson is that Jesus, upon hearing her pleas, is silent. Often when trials or crosses come upon us, it appears like God is distant or silent from us. He delays His help. Jesus gives the woman no answer. Many of the Psalms speak of this kind of testing. How long, O Lord? How long? Will you forget me forever? When we suffer under crosses and trials of God's supposed silence, we endure it along with the saints that have gone on before us. Saints like Abraham and Job and David and Jeremiah and yes, even this Canaanite woman. That God's silence sometimes is meant to teach our faith in Christ to persevere in seeking Him out. That our prayers should continue. Our remembering the Word of God continues more earnestly. To wait upon the Lord's faithful answer. Because it will come as sure as He is God. The third trial for faith from Christ in this lesson is that we often fall into thinking that God's promises don't apply to us. This is what is put forward when Jesus reminds the disciples and the Canaanite woman that He was only sent to the house of Israel. She is then tempted to believe that, well, then Jesus isn't the Christ for me. But this is an evil heresy. This is a lie. that God did not come to save everyone, but instead chooses to cast aside certain people for whom Christ did not die. That's a lie. Here we should learn from the Canaanite woman, as her great faith in Christ teaches us. She chases after Jesus. She falls down before him and cries out for help from him. When we are tempted to think based upon our crosses and trials, our suffering, that God does not want us to be saved, we should return to the word of the Lord our God, which declares that thought that we aren't included in the promise to be an absolute hellish lie. The Lord has declared that he takes no joy in the death of the godless or the sinner, but that they should repent and live. The word of God declares the work of Christ to be for all, the whole world. That includes you, even in your suffering, especially for you in your suffering, because Christ declares, "Come unto me, all of you who are burned out, all of you who are overburdened, and I will give you rest." The word declares that the Lord desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth of their salvation, their forgiveness in Christ Jesus our Lord. The final test of faith is that all of this will produce an anxiety in us about our unworthiness. Christ tests this when he literally calls the Canaanite woman a dog. Here the temptation was to be offended by his words. What did he call me? Or worse, to believe ourselves to be unworthy to ask of our dear Heavenly Father as his dear children. This is why we do not act upon anything like our worthiness, but instead we act as the Canaanite woman does, confessing our unworthiness. For we are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor do we deserve them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. That even though you are a sinner, Jesus is still God. Jesus is still the Savior, and he is sympathetic to your cause. Even though you are not faithful at all times, Jesus is faithful every time, all the time. So we hinge all of our perseverant prayer upon Jesus, not upon ourselves. He is who he is, and his word declares him to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And this doesn't change, even if the devil tempts you to think so in your tribulation or suffering. Your faith in Jesus is precious. It is so precious that God will test it, to exercise it. Suffering will come. Faithful, prayerful endurance grounded in God's word will cause faith in Christ to triumph, like Jacob and like the Canaanite woman. And like our Lord, who declared this woman's faith to be great, so also this same Lord and this same Christ has promised that he wants to confess the name of those who have remained steadfast before God the Father and the angels in heaven. For he will never blot that name from the book of life. Each and every one of you know this struggle of faith. Everyone here knows hardship and will continue to know it as well. Some of you might know it better than others. And yet all of it is given by God for your testing, for the strengthening of your faith in Christ, that you would indeed endure all that is yet to come. For as sure as the Canaanite woman received help and rescue by her faith in Jesus, so also you will be nurtured, and steadfast faith shall receive blessings both now and forever. Jesus is your truest friend. Even when your experience might tempt you to think otherwise, don't believe the lie. Believe the word instead. And from that faith, call upon him in every trouble. Call upon the name of the Lord and seek out his help. He will never fail to give it in his time and in his way. Both of which, his time and his way, are best for you all the time. In the name of Jesus, amen.